Trained Up is an online training tool that ministry leaders like you are using today to train volunteers, develop leaders, and teach the Bible. Listen, folks, if you haven't looked into Trained Up, you really are missing out. I know that you want to develop leaders. You want to find ways to raise them up. Actually, in today's interview with Warren Bird, he talks about the importance of raising up leaders. And I know you're looking for new ways to do that. Well, what you need to do is check out Trained Up. It allows you to create video courses, or you can use their pre-built video courses. It really is an amazing technology. Now, what I want you to do is to book a demo. All you need to do is go to their website, trainedup.church, where you'll find everything in there about it. And then when you sign up for the 20-minute demo, let them know that Unseminary sent you, and they'll give you a 25% discount on the first 3 months. Please check it out. That's trainedup.church.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name is Rich, the host around these parts. I am so glad that you've tuned in. I know you've got a lot going on in your church, and it really is our honor that you put us in your earbuds today to listen in, and you're going to be rewarded for this. Now, I need to just come clean with the audience. I think there's only two people who, if they were to email me and say, hey, I want to be on your podcast, that I would say yes to. One of them is Warren Bird, and the other is my friend Carrie Newhoff. And we've got Warren Bird on the line today. He's a good friend, has become a friend over these last couple of years, and I just think is a gift really to the broader church. And so, Warren, I'm so glad that you're with us today. Thanks for being here.
Well, I am a great fan. I listen to Unseminary regularly. I have tweeted it. I have forwarded episodes. Rich, we're in the Mutual Admiration Club.
You know, it's funny because I play an expert on the internet, and Warren actually is one. So he really does. So many times I would just say before we got on the air, there are times where I just requote his stuff because he really is super smart. And so today we're pulling apart what I think is a fascinating study. It was a Leadership Network study. It came out, when did this come out? Last spring? It's been out for a while now.
July 2017.
Okay, so it's not even that old. And it's called 8 Launch Wins, a study of 1,500 plus new churches and multi-site campuses. And now, I don't want you to tune out if you're not in the kind of new campus, multi-site campus situation, you're not thinking about launching a campus or launching a new church, because you're going to get some lessons today for your church as you think about reaching out. But Warren, why don't we start with you kind of telling us about this study? Why did you do this study, and what were some of your kind of hopes going in, and maybe even some of your assumptions going in that you were able to then test through this process?
Well, to our surprise, nobody had ever put new churches and new campuses side by side. Mm. And you have churches saying, okay, we should do more outreach. And they're asking very legitimate questions. Well, should we, do the outreach through the church itself? Or should we launch a campus? Or should we launch a new church? You know, what would be the biggest impact for Christ and his kingdom, and we don't know. Right. So I said, well, let's find out.
Do it.
So we had the 1,600 some odd churches tell us, all right, we ask them all kinds of questions about growth and discipleship, follow-up, and even what kind of buildings people come to, or, does portable, because so many of us, when we start a ministry, we just say, go find something available. Well, does it matter in terms of the discipleship that you do? Mm-hmm. What kind of facility that you land in, and for what season of the church? Mm-hmm. So we had just lots of fun. We had all these people give us about 20 minutes worth of insights, and we boiled it down and said, all right, here are the 5 winners.
Yeah, this is amazing. If people have tracked with my story for a while, I've been involved in the launch of 13 different multi-site campuses over the last almost 20 years, which seems crazy. And it's been interesting because over those years, I've ended up intersecting with a lot of church planners who, we end up swapping stories and kind of trying to learn from each other. And there's some overlap. There's some areas where I feel like, oh yeah, we're doing something very similar. But then there's other areas where it's like, this is just a different animal. It feels different, has a different feel to it. And so the part of what I love about this study is that it actually explores those areas and actually gives us, in a chance to, understand those. And in a classic Warren Bird sort of way. You know, lots of us have hunches, and then Warren actually goes and figures out with actual data, you know, what we should be studying. So at the core of this report, there are these kind of five compelling new reasons to start a church or campus. I'd love to kind of rotate around on that. In fact, what I'm hoping is that we can convince you, if you're even in that category where you're like, nah, I'm not sure, maybe this is the year to not do some sort of new expansion thing. Maybe you'd be convinced after listening a little bit, actually, why this would be the year for you to lean in and try something. So the number one reason that you cite here is more millennials. Of these, kind of tell us about this. What did you learn through your study about, you know, how we end up reaching more millennials through this process?
I will. That's the first listed reason.
Yes.
I think the top reason is number two, and we'll get to that.
Yes.
But the number one is, so many churches, you know, say, well, how do we reach the next generation, in particular, young adults?
Yep.
And there's a great book out by Lee Kreicher, K-R-I-C-H-E-R, Amplify Church in Pittsburgh, on how he came into a church. He said, all right, just one condition if I, you know, become your pastor, and that is you're agreeing that we will together do everything possible and necessary to make the average age in the congregation equal or less than the average age in the surrounding neighborhood. And of course, that involved many years of transition, and churches can do that.
Right.
However, if you want a quick route to reaching young adults, and maybe a less painful route, not that that route isn't important and necessary, but while you're changing the flagship itself,
yes,
if you plant a new campus or a new venue, you are going to reach more millennials, and we actually came up with a number, 62% more millennials if you start something new than if you just stay and try to transition what you're doing.
Now, why is that, Warren? That seems, in one way that seems intuitive, another way it seems counterintuitive. What did you find through your research? What was it that you think was driving the ability to reach younger people through something new?
You know, that's the most fun part of research. You come through and you find out this is the answer.
Yes.
And then people say, so why is it that one?
Yes.
And you're like, well, I didn't ask that in the
survey.
That's
another study.
We do have some good hunches. And the first good hunch is you tend to send out a younger crew when you're launching a new ministry, whether it's church or campus. And whatever the age of the leadership is tends to attract that age and a few years younger.
Okay.
So you tend to get that. And then like attracts like, in that there's a level playing field. Hey, there's this new thing, and it's probably pitched in a contemporary way, whatever contemporary is for your community. Mm-hmm. And so it feeds each other, because 80% to 90% of church growth comes by people inviting their friends, business associates, family, friends, neighbors, and so forth.
Interesting. That's fascinating. You know, I wonder too if a piece of this puzzle that there is, our churches, and this just taps into some other research that you've done or some other work you've done on succession, you know, our churches, they're frankly willing to take a risk on a younger leader in the new thing rather than the established thing. They're willing to say, hey, you know, we're willing to put somebody in their 30s to lead that thing because it's something over there. It's not kind of our main deal. I wonder, because I've seen that dynamic work out where it's like, okay, we end up saying, hey, we're willing to let that, that run, you know, over there with a younger leader. Do you think that might be a part of it?
I absolutely do. It's lower risk. And, you know, hey, we'll be cheering for you, praying for you, but it's not whacking the tree at the foundation if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, very cool. Well, you know, you've heard the adage, which I've sold, I've said it, at Liquid Church, a church that we have a common connection in, even painted in a giant letters on the walls. There's nothing like new campuses to reach new people. Number two, and you referenced it, really speaks to that, the one of the compelling reasons to start a new campus is really at the outreach potential that happens there. Help us understand that. What did you see in your study?
Okay, so we ask the person who filled out the survey, what percent of the congregation do you think in a typical month are inviting friends to, quote, consider faith in Jesus Christ, close quote. So overt, you know, not just building a friendship, but building to the point of relationship where I can invite you to consider faith in Jesus Christ. People attending churches or multi-site campuses started in the last 5 years are 52% more likely to invite friends and family. Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
Wow. Which helps explain why so often these new entities are on the cutting edge of your spiritual fruit in terms of the new believers in Christ, because people are inviting.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, and I've seen that dynamic. I have a good friend of mine who's planting a church in Sarasota, Florida, a Hope City Church, Peter Goweski. He's a great, great friend. And, you know, it's been fascinating to watch that kind of from the sidelines as a, you know, as a friend kind of keeping in touch with him. And you can see that as a brand new church, there, a part of it is just driven, even like functionally, they're trying to reach everybody. They're like, you're trying everybody they run into. And then that becomes infectious as they interact with their people. This idea of reaching out, it becomes embedded into you know, who you are as a church. Now, unfortunately, you know, when things stagnate, or maybe you grow, you reach a certain size, unfortunately, that maybe peels off a little bit. The interesting thing that you found here was, I think we've all kind of intuitively felt that. We feel like, yeah, that is a part of what happens in these things. But you found that actually that was true. That was beyond just an idea.
Not just true, but I put a number on it.
Yes.
That you're 52% more likely to invite friends to consider faith in Jesus Christ than at any other time in the life of the church.
That's amazing.
Now, if these numbers are throwing anyone, let me just tell you, you can get it for free and look at it yourself. Or if you want the number, it's leadnet.org, mm-hmm. LEADNET, as in leadership mm-hmm. network.org/portable, because yep. Portable Church Industries sponsored the report, mm-hmm. and just download it for free. And it's a lovely infographic. And the title of the infographic in the middle of the report is 5 Compelling New Reasons to Start a Church or Campus. And that's really what Rich and I are talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been wondering, is it worth it?
Yes.
To start that new church or campus, I got 5 good
yes.
reasons, each with a number.
Solid backed up of numbers. Let's actually talk about that a little bit for Portable Church. So Scott Cogill, CEO of Portable Church, great people. I had heard that you guys were doing this report. And I said to him, I'm like, because a part of what you actually looked at, which is off of this particular graphic, is this idea of permanent versus portable. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, dude, isn't that kind of risky? Like, you know, you're asking the core, because obviously as a company, what they're hoping will come out of the study is like, yeah, everybody should be portable. This is what's great. What did you find? What did the study find? If, you know, when it comes to launching new campuses, you know, the effectiveness, what difference does it make whether you're a portable or whether you're in a permanent location?
Well, that's a really good question. And there are both advantages and disadvantages of portability, yes. as well as disadvantages of permanence. And yes. the biggest advantage of portability is not only does it buy me time mm-hmm. to raise funds, put my energy, put my funding mm-hmm. in initially growing the church, but it also enables you to go through several sizes. You know, hey, to change from right. one rented school to another, or from one venue within the rented school, you know, now we're moving to the auditorium because we've grown, mm-hmm. is minimal cost right. compared to, we own this property now and we got to kick out the building and get permits and time, and you lose your momentum. So there's a lot of strength in the location amount. I didn't give a specific statistical yeah. number on that, yeah. but we're going to have another report coming out where I will give some numbers.
Kind of nail into that. Well, let's jump back to this 5 compelling reasons. Number 3, I thought this one was interesting. So number 3 just reads, you know, more engagement. So one of the compelling reasons is there's higher engagement. What did you find? You know, I think we're looking for ways to get more people plugged in, more kind of engaged in what we're doing. What did the study find?
Well, here's the number. 31% more people volunteer regularly in the first 5 years of a new church or campus than in any subsequent 5-year period.
Amazing.
Now, what got me going on looking for this was years ago when we did the first multi-site reports mm-hmm. through Leadership Network. And if you want those, they're free downloads. Go to leadnet.org/multi-site, one word. My biggest surprise on one of those reports was we asked people, when you launched, mm-hmm. did your lay engagement go down, remain the same, or go higher? Mm-hmm. And like 89%, 91%, some really high, said it went up. Well, whenever you get a number like that in a research, you go, whoa, this is really unusual. Mm. Here people are saying that we started something new and yet the engagement went up of our volunteers. Wow. And so I worded questions in this survey to find out, okay, what about your volunteers, you know, and there's setup, there's tear down, there's all the pieces involved with starting something new. Mm-hmm. And they say, wow, they reported the new entities reported a much higher lay involvement level than the older churches. And that is just, hey, Ephesians 4:11-12, the job of the pastor teacher is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Well,
absolutely.
This platform gives you that not only opportunity, but it presses you into that.
And there's interesting, you know, obviously these all start to kind of connect with each other and become a kind of self-reinforcing, super positive dynamics that are happening there. We've talked about in other places in seminary that when you get behind the scenes at growing churches, the thing that growing churches, prevailing churches understand is, unlike what you're actually wanting to do is find ways to get more people involved. So, you know, a lot of churches that are struggling might say like, man, we just don't have enough volunteers. We can't make this thing happen. Well, actually what you'll hear from prevailing churches is, man, we just don't have enough volunteers. We got to figure out how to get more of them. They're literally both saying the same thing. But what a prevailing church is saying, we don't ever want to get to 100%. We want to make up new things for people to do, get more ways for people to get engaged and actually never top out, which is a bit of a head trip for people if they've never experienced that before. It's a different way to think about growing your church. Now, it makes sense because what happens is as you get more people involved, those people end up telling two friends who tell two friends who tell two friends, and it grows from there. And it's amazing here you found an actual number. Now, I said we weren't going to go through all of them, but I really just want to go through number four as well, and then we can leave people to make sure they download.
Yes, they can download.
Got to download. I don't want to give it all away.
And they can get number five, and actually there's several other really good
things. There's tons. It's a huge report. There's lots in here. So number four is more growth. You know, what impact did these new things have when they were kind of growth rate?
All right. In its first 5 years of life, a new church or multi-site campus typically grows 170% faster than the average of any other five-year period. That is amazing.
That's amazing.
And that says, you know, how you start sets the pace for who you become.
Right. This is an important dynamic. You know, I've seen this as, you know, been a part of a couple multi-site churches where, you know, we got on a pattern of launching new churches on a regular basis, which is my default position. It's funny when people call me and ask for advice on multi-site, I just say right up front, listen, I'm biased. I'm going to tell you should be launching more campuses. Like, I'm just naturally bent in that direction. I think more churches should be doing it. I almost feel like it's an obligation. If your church is growing and making a difference, you need to figure out a way to replicate that and reach more people with that. But it's interesting, this when I read this statistic, it confirmed a dynamic that I saw, which is, you know, when you've been at launching campuses for a while, and let's say you get to campus four or five, you know, six, you know, both the Meeting House and Liquid, I was able to see them get to that. And what happens is you notice that the newer campuses are growing faster, and that after somewhere in the 3, 4, 5 year range, they start to plateau a little bit. And you have to work with your campus pastors and your team to keep focused on how do we grow, how do we, you don't become complacent, but that is a normal dynamic. Is that what we're seeing? Is this that dynamic that we're seeing in churches?
That's exactly the dynamic, yes.
Yeah, and I think the good thing from a kind of a management point of view or a leadership point of view is to recognize that that's going to happen. That, you know, the first few years, the example I've used, the short form I've used is, listen, you're going to have more guests in your first month than you will in your first quarter, more guests in your first quarter than in your first year, more in your first year than in your second year, more in your second year than your third year. And so take advantage of those early days. Take advantage of the fact that there's a lot of people coming and we want to kind of get our growth early. early as we can, but then also to encourage campuses that have been around for a while or churches that have been around for 3 or 4 years to like, hey, learn from these other campuses. What are they doing to grow and how do we kind of leverage off that?
And it comes back a lot of it to this leadership idea that you referred to. I mean, even Jesus talked about, hey, we need more leaders. When he looked out at the harvest, he said, hey, the harvest is ready. And he didn't even say, pray for the harvest. He said, pray for more workers.
Yes.
That the Lord of the harvest will supply those workers to go into the harvest. And then, you know, you might link that to the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 2:2. We need to always be about training others who are training others who are training others who are training others. And so many people have said, well, you know, we gave away our leaders, but by doing so, we realized that we really didn't have a leadership development system where we talked a good talk, but we weren't really practicing it. And I think that's what a lot of what happens both in the sending campus and in the new campus or church, that they're good at maybe one deep on leadership development, but all of them all of a sudden realize, oh, this is really not the culture or lifestyle, which then puts a cap on what God may, on the souls that God may want to entrust into their care.
Well, this is a fantastic report. I would literally think everyone who's listening in should go and download this today. This is, even if your church isn't thinking about launching another campus next year, or you're not thinking about doing a new church plant, this would be is a fantastic report for you. It's filled with all kinds of fascinating insights. There's lots of great, you know, pieces of this study, and it's complex. We obviously can't cover all of it by any means. We're just kind of scratching the surface in 20 minutes. And so to get that again, it's leadnet.org/portable. You can go there. It's free. You just enter your email address and they'll send it off to you. I also find these reports are all, every time one of these come out with my own team, it's a great resource to say, okay, everybody, let's devour this together. There's enough here to fuel a couple conversations at least with your team, you know, as you're wrestling through and thinking about what is the future look like. So Warren, I appreciate that you've done this study.
Well, and let me add, Rich, I do that with your reports that you compile, because they're good discussion pieces. What if we learn one or two things from everything we look at, we're always a few steps ahead of where we were before we read.
Nice. Well, Warren, I appreciate being on the show today. What's a question you're asking these days? What's Warren thinking, and what's coming on the horizon? Are there, you know, report? I know you can't talk about reports that are unpublished, but
sure I can. I tell you what, I'm trying to figure out, and Rich, you and I are recording this by video, and I could hold up a whole bunch of books that are right here on the top of my pile, and they're all about millennials, young adults, not how do churches connect with young adult leaders, but with young adults, but how do churches develop the kind of leaders? How do churches help those leaders thrive in reaching the young adults? Because there are different leadership styles. The next generation is more collaborative, and you can give different qualities. Mm-hmm. And so how do you make that just really hop and work well? So working on that.
Very cool. You also just released a blog that I thought was really fascinating about kind of the youngest megachurch pastors in America, which is a great one. If you just search that, you probably would come up with that. It's a fantastic read. Again, it's fascinating to see what God's doing across the country, and always interesting to look at kind of next generation stuff. Well, Warren, I appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with Leadership Network, learn more about this report, or in touch with you, how do they do that? What's the best way for them to follow you, track along with your thinking?
If you're on Twitter, at Warren Bird, one word, WARRENBIRD, or go to leadnet.org/advance and get the free newsletter that I oversee. And it highlights trends, ideas, resources that we release or bump into.
Thanks so much, Warren. Appreciate being on the show today.
Appreciate you, Rich.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.